brought to you by Penguin.
Wars of the Roses, Book 2, Trinity, by Con Iggulden. Read by Roy Macmillan. Prologue. Vicomte Michel Gascot was certainly not a spy. He would have scorned the name if he had heard it used of him. Of course, it went without saying that the French ambassador to the English court would report anything of interest to his monarch on his return. It was also true that Vicomte Gascot had considerable experience in the royal palaces of Europe as well as the field of war. He knew what King Charles of France might want to know, and with that in mind, Vicomte Gascot took careful note of all that went on around him, little though it was. Spies were grubby, low-born men, given to hiding in doorways and hissing secret passwords at each other. Vicomte Gascot de l'autre côté, on the other hand, as the English said, was a gentleman of France, as far above such things as the sun above the earth. Those and similar thoughts were all he had to amuse him in his idle hours. He was certain to mention to King Charles how he had been ignored for 3 full days, left to kick his heels in a sumptuous chamber in the Palace of Westminster. The servants sent to attend his person were not even well washed, he had noticed, though they came promptly enough. One of them positively reeked of horse and urine, as if he found his usual employment in the royal stables. Still, it was true, Gascot's bodily needs were met, even if his ambassadorial ones were not. Each day began with his own retainers dressing him in the most gorgeous raiments and cloaks he possessed, choosing them from among the garments pressed into the enormous trunks he had brought from France. He had not yet been forced to repeat a combination of colours, and if he had overheard one of the English scullions refer to him as the French peacock, it bothered him not at all. Bright colours raised his mood, and he had precious little else to while away the time. He did not like to think of the food they set out for him. It was clear enough that they engaged a French cook, equally as clear that the man had no love of his countrymen. Gascot shuddered at the thought of some of the flaccid things that had appeared at his table. The hours crept by like a funeral, and he had long ago read every scrap of his official papers. By the light of a candle lamp, he turned at last to a dun-coloured book in his possession, marked throughout with his notes and comments. De Sacra Coena, by Berengarius, had become a favourite of Gascot's. The treatise on the Last Supper had been banned by the Church, of course. Any argument that strayed into the mysteries of body and blood brought the attention of papal hounds. Gascot had long been in the habit of seeking out books destined for the fire, to set his thoughts aflame in turn. He rubbed his hands over the wrappings. The original cover had been stripped and burnt to ashes, of course, with those ashes carefully crumbled so that no questing hand could ever guess what they had once been. The rough, stained leather was a sad necessity in an age where men took such delight in denouncing each other to their masters. The summons, when it came at last, interrupted his reading. Gascot was used to the booming bell that rang each hour and half-hour, startling him from sleep and spoiling his digestion at least as much as the poor pigeons that lay so limply on his dinner platter. He had kept no count, but still knew it was late when the horse servant, as he thought of him, came rushing into the rooms. "Viscount Gascot, you're summoned," the boy said. Gascot gave no sign of irritation at the way he mangled a proud name. The boy was surely a simpleton, and the good Lord expected mercy for those poor fellows, set amongst their betters to teach compassion, or so Gascot's mother had always said. With care, he laid his book on the arm of the chair and rose. His steward, Alphonse, was only a step behind the lad. Gascot let his eyes drift back to the book, knowing it would be enough of a signal for his servant to keep it from other hands in his absence. Alphonse nodded sharply, bowing low, while the horse-boy stared in confusion at the dumb show between the two men. Vicomte Gascot strapped on his sword and allowed Alphonse to drape his yellow cloak around his shoulders. When his gaze dropped once more to the chair, the book had somehow vanished. Truly, his servant was the soul of discretion, and not simply because he lacked a tongue. Gascot inclined his head in thanks and swept out behind the boy, passing through the outer rooms and into the chilly corridor beyond. A party of 5 men awaited him there. 4 of them were evidently soldiers, wearing a royal tabard over mail. The last wore a cloak and tunic over hose, all as thick and well made as his...
Sample complete.
Ready to continue?